This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
And this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Nikki, I heard you say on Sunday night that you have a Dash t-shirt.
I do.
Where'd you get that?
Matt.
So cool. I've always been a fan. Well, I guess for a long time I've been a fan of Dash. Early on when Mark and I were going to cryptocurrency, we went to our first crypto convention. I think it might have been like the second one we ever went to. We met the founder of Dash. And
at that?
His name is Evan Duffield.
Cool.
And he, we asked him all this kind of the standard questions. But at that time, our mindset was like,
only Bitcoin?
Why would anyone want to compete with Bitcoin?
Oh,
Bitcoin
wow.
is the greatest thing ever, and like, what's all this competition all about? You guys are late to the game, whatever. And I didn't catch the vision for anything besides Bitcoin at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fairly skeptical. We interviewed him. We asked him questions about it and everything. I don't think we're nasty or anything like that, but it was like, come on, why you got to compete with Bitcoin? What's going on? What's wrong with Bitcoin? And turns out there's a lot wrong with Bitcoin. Turns out that, maybe not in the early days. Bitcoin was pretty pure back then. But then what happened was, to keep the a fairly long story short, the bankers got a hold of it.
2017, right?
Yeah, well, it's actually before 2017, but it kind of came to a head, if you will. Loggerheads happened between these two different factions in the Bitcoin community, and they were fighting over the future of Bitcoin, and they didn't come to an agreement, and Bitcoin had this big schism into Bitcoin Cash on one side and then Bitcoin on the other, and there became these two Bitcoins, and they were competing with one another. And it was just this ugly, ugly situation that was so hard to deal with at the time. By that time, I had come to the conclusion that Bitcoin needed competition, and Dash was there.
Mm-hmm.
Dash was the competition at the time. Bitcoin Cash was still this like new thing that was completely untested, completely unproven. August of 2017.
Mm.
So relatively new. Dash came out in 2014.
Oh, yeah. It came out from the split.
Bitcoin Cash did.
Yeah.
Dash was its own creation. They actually used the Litecoin. So Litecoin copied Bitcoin's code, made a change to it, just one change, made it four times faster. And then Dash took that code and made even more changes to that. And since then, Dash has done some really amazing things, making it the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. It's Dash's digital cash. And a lot of cryptos are just speculative, like, oh, here's this meme coin, Shiba Inu, or this other meme coin, Dogecoin, or whatever. And those are fun and everything, but they're not really currencies, right? Like, they're not intended to be used for buying and selling things. But that's what Dash does. And to prove it, they recently launched, I believe it was last year sometime, they launched something called Dash Direct. It is a killer app that allows you to actually spend Dash at over 150,000 locations across the United States. And we're talking major retailers.
That's way more than I thought. 150,000?
Yeah, I think that includes all of the company's locations, right?
Okay, yeah.
If you include Home Depot, for instance, which is on the list, and big places in a lot of cases, and some online ones, but a lot of physical, real-life stores that you can go to, and you, more importantly, get a discount for paying with Dash. So it's finally a reason to actually spend your cryptocurrency. Captain Kickass was in here Sunday night talking about his experience using Dash Direct, which, by the way, he was using long before Dash renewed its sponsorship here on Free Talk Live. It's been several years since we've had Dash on as a major sponsor, and I'm glad to have him back. So you get a different discount on each store on Dash Direct. Some of them might not be like, just over 1%. Most of them seem to be in like the 4 to 6% range from, I was looking at the list the other night, and there's a few that are like 8%. 7.89%.
Wow.
So it just all depends on which store and what they wanted to incentivize. So Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. Super easy to get and use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. As we continue here, Nikki, you were telling us about this guy in his 40s, and he's 45-year-old Jeremy Sherland.
Yes.
In Tawnytown Police Department, was arrested recently for, well, just giving his son an ear piercing. Which, by the way, didn't you just pierce your ears recently, Bonnie, at home?
I've pierced my ears like 4 times now because I wanted to get it like perfect.
Yeah, you bought this like cheap thing online.
I bought it on Amazon. So now that I'm thinking about it, there can't possibly be like a federal law against it.
No, there's definitely not a federal law against it. It must be a state law in Arkansas, but I just think that's completely ridiculous.
That's a terrible
That makes
law.
It a felony in Arkansas. To do this apparently to your own family, and I don't know if there was any more detail on the story that you wanted to share.
Well, a little bit.
Because I'm betting you he's been charged with resisting arrest, because he definitely did not go voluntarily in
so,
this case.
So Sherland spent 2 nights in Washington County Jail and was released on a $1,500 bond. He now faces charges of endangering the welfare of a minor, resisting arrest, and performing body art on a person under 18, none of which involve child abuse.
Okay, I see it is, that's weird, because it says here in the actual police press release I pulled up that is, a person shall not perform body art on a person under the age of 16, regardless of parental consent, according to their Arkansas Public Health and Welfare chapters.
Endangering the welfare of a minor is like when you buy your 20-year-old friend alcohol.
That would probably be categorized under that one as well.
And this is like, he had his ear pierced and that he was already fine by the time the cops heard about it. It's ridiculous.
This is just so crazy to me because this is the first time I'm ever hearing of not being able to get your ears pierced before you turn 18.
That's a good point. I got mine first done in when I was 5. Then again, when I was in 4th grade.
I was 5 years old when I got my ears pierced, and at that point, you know, I was consenting, whether you believe, you know, 5-year-old can consent to anything. You know, I believe, you know, I was, you know, had my own autonomy, and my mom asked me if I wanted to get my ears pierced. I said yes. She took me to the mall, and that was that, and I was very, very happy about it.
Me too. Exact same thing. I wanted my ears pierced. I remember getting Twizzlers because my mom was, I was just afraid it was going to hurt, and then it didn't hurt, and I was very happy.
Well, this gets into a much larger discussion that I had a little bit of this week with a libertarian guy here in New Hampshire, and this sort of stemmed from the whole trans discussion that's been going on over the last couple of years, or certainly the last several months, where there's a surprising number of people in the liberty movement who, I don't know if I would say they're anti-trans, but they're definitely...
It feels that way.
It feels that way. They're definitely anti being able to, like, do anything trans-related with your children, meaning to encourage or to assist or, you know, be part of their desires to be trans. These people believe that that should be illegal.
Which is really ironic because a lot of these people are the same people that were pushing back on, like, they wanted health freedom things and they were pushing back on the forced mandates
my
of the vaccination.
My body, my choice.
We own our bodies. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened to my body, my choice? Now you're believing that these children, sometimes, you know, at 16 years old, 14 years old, I'm sorry, I knew exactly what I wanted. Yeah, I was still trying to figure it out, but I do believe that teenagers at that age should be able to make these decisions for themselves. And it should be a discussion, you know, between the parents, but I think with good parenting and support, I don't really see the problem. I don't think there should be legislation either way.
Yeah,
see,
parents like to hold the fact that they pay your rent over your head.
They do. They do. And it is a good factor. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, but not if you're not allowed to work.
That's true as well. Or leave.
Yeah.
You're not free to leave. that makes you essentially a hostage in a hostile environment. But I want to dig deeper on this one because there are some tough questions, I think, that come up here. And you said a teenager should be able to make these choices. I think most rational people could agree with that, maybe, if they are like me. And I think that, you know, teenagers are people. They're human beings. And they have the ability to make a decision for themselves. But what about children deciding to become trans?
I mean, I think that's fine. Obviously, we're not talking about gender reassignment surgery. We're not talking about
About chopping off genitals.
That's what I was going to say.
That has never been a discussion, though. Like, these conservatives that are up in arms about this are quite literally making it up. No one is doing gender reassignment surgery to anyone under the age of 18. That I know of.
Aria says it's been, 56 that have happened in some number of recent years.
Like, ever?
So it has happened, okay. And there have been some number of... I saw it the other day. I don't remember how many hundred it was, but it was, a few hundred or a couple hundred mastectomies.
Yeah, so I think that absolutely needs to be over 18. Mm-hmm. I mean, and again,
it's really
I don't
drastic.
Really believe on creating legislation on many things, but I do think it's a bad idea. Just personally, legislation aside, I think it's a bad idea to do any sort of surgery or body modifications before the age of 18. I think 18 is a solid age. You need a little bit more time to make those decisions.
I tend to agree with you.
As far as children, no, nothing should be a law, but as far as children, dressing, becoming trans, maybe preferring to be called a name of the opposite sex, dressing in clothing, typically,
And that's really what we're mostly talking about here. It's I don't know. I just hate that anytime we're talking about this, so many conservatives and libertarians who are lean right, they jump to the conclusion that we're saying children should be getting their genitals taken off or put on new
I'm
ones
not
or whatever.
Saying that. I am, and I'm with you on this one. I think that it should be
done. I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible idea.
I don't think it should be done, period. Never mind the age limit.
But I'm not willing. What I'm not willing to do is take a shock troop team of SWAT members to kick in somebody's front door and put their parents under arrest, because that has been done with their... because the parents had done that to or with, or whether it's on the consent or not of the child. Let's just see or say that some of those things have happened, that some people under the age of 18 have had these surgeries, that they've somehow found a doctor, and there aren't very many of them, there cannot be many of them that are willing to do this, but that were willing to do it. I don't think that doctor should be charged. I don't think that the parents should be charged. I think that it is none of my business.
Yeah.
And similarly, I think that's true of other modifications to someone's body. The light version, obviously, is somebody who pierced their kid's ears with or without their consent, because actually the police report claims that the man in this case actually held his son in a chokehold.
That's not what the son said. So
even if the son did say that, and then he said he wanted his ears pierced, and then he never took it out, and then he didn't want his dad to get arrested, I know that this sounds crazy, but that could be a good family fun. Sounds crazy. It doesn't hurt that
Bonnie,
bad.
Bonnie, what do you do with your family?
It doesn't hurt that bad, and it could have been just a joke. I know that sounds crazy. My family would never do that, but some people would, and I don't think that that should be criminalized.
And I just wouldn't go as far to, even if that did happen, I wouldn't go as far to say that that's child abuse.
Right. Now, a lot of males have their foreskin cut off by their parents.
Yeah, how is that not child abuse? That's a technically mutilation.
It is absolutely genital mutilation, but it's fairly common. Mm-hmm. And so most people don't look at it as though it's child abuse. Again, I would not want to have my parents facing criminal charges for electing to do that particular surgery on me at some point. I just don't think that that is going to make the world a better place. I don't think that that's going to solve any problems. But this libertarian who is critical of parents and their kids coming to some sort of arrangement for trans whatever, whether it's surgery or taking pills or whatever it is that they would agree on, of course, went straight to female genital mutilation and asked me about that. And I said, look, I understand that is generally considered more horrific, and it probably is, than the male genital mutilation. But again, it's none of my business. It is not.
Why would you even bring that up when you're saying that the male genital mutilation shouldn't happen? I mean,
I didn't get to that point.
Oh.
He went straight to that after I was talking about how parents should be able to do whatever they want as far as their kids and all that. And the fact is, this particular viewpoint that he is saying, which is that the government should prohibit, that there should be some sort of a law against female genital mutilation or trans-related surgeries and or, you know, doctor visits, etc., seems really hypocritical to me, because, I mean, it's the point that you guys made about the taking the pills for the COVID or taking the vaccine for the COVID. Obviously, it's hypocritical on that front. But also, there are parents who are on the right, who are like ultra-religious conservatives, who believe that going and doing anything at all in the medical system is also a bad idea. So, like, I'll give you an example. I don't remember the religious belief, but it's some fundamentalist Christian belief that says, hey, if you're blind, then you just got to be blind. You can't be wearing glasses.
Yeah, it's like the...
Wow.
Something like Christian scientists.
That could be it.
They don't believe in any medical treatment at all.
Jehovah's Witness, they do not believe in, like, blood transfusion.
Yep. Yeah, so you just are supposed to die.
No.
Yeah.
Well, right. And as a healthcare provider, that's one of the things where when people come in, if it's against their religion to do a certain procedure, we have to honor that.
And
I think in certain emergency cases, maybe it's not always. But if somebody's telling me, I know I'm not getting a blood transfusion because it's against my religion, we're not going to hold them down and do it.
It's their life. It's their body. They should be able to make that decision. But in this case, we're talking about parents making the decision for their children, right? Like that's the
thing. It gets so dicey with the because, you know, they're children. But I believe that children are individuals. You know, we should respect their decisions. And I think with good parenting, if you have a good relationship with your child and you raised them in a way where they love and trust you, you should be able to have a discussion with your child to work through this.
You should be, but ultimately in a very religious family, let's say the child disagrees and says, I want to wear glasses. My parents don't think I should be able to wear glasses because God says if you're meant to be blind, you're meant to be blind, or whatever the religious rationale is for this particular viewpoint. But the parents are like, nope, they're not in our household. You can't do that. And if it's okay to prohibit parents from doing some sort of body modification on their children, then it should also be okay, and I'm not arguing for this, but by the same logic, it should also be okay to prohibit
to raid someone's house for their kid not wearing glasses.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing. It's still the parents making a decision about how this child should be able to develop or not develop, and it's honestly none of my business. I think all of that's tragic. I think it's tragic on one side to have genital mutilation or to chop off somebody's breasts or penis or whatever for trans reasons. And I think it's also wrong to force your kids not to wear glasses or go to the dentist or
but
whatever other
things. These are very uncommon circumstances. And I think that's something we need to remember when people are arguing for legislation against stuff like this, because these are very uncommon circumstances. So why would we create an overarching law that could... torment, if we're getting CPS involved in all of these families, it's like how many families are we going to destroy just to save, like, a handful of children? Because it's very uncommon. I think the majority of people, if their kid needed glasses, they would get them glasses.
I think that's true.
If one kid, their parents held them down and pierced their ears or whatever the case is, that's just such an uncommon circumstance.
Right. And then,
so it's just ridiculous.
But even though these things do happen, I don't think that these kids are going to be better off having, like you said, CPS get involved in the situation. Come and take the kids away from these parents who otherwise are loving parents who do care about their children. Yeah. They just have a different way of expressing that. They have a different viewpoint on what should and shouldn't be done with their family members' bodies or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, we know what happens when kids get taken away from their parents and put into the foster system.
So they can go to some abusive foster home where they're getting, you know, molested and whatever else. I mean,
or that the new detention center.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like that is a very common thing that happens in foster homes. Yeah. So it's just
definitely way more common than a person under 18 getting a gender reassignment surgery.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I know several people who were in foster care who did have horrible things happen to them.
Yep.
And the whole time they were just wishing they could go back to their parents. Yeah, I mean, it's tragic.
I think it's a really unfortunate perspective for someone who claims to be a libertarian to have, is that, oh, well, I'm a libertarian, except if you do something in your own home with your own children that I think is wrong. Because that very same viewpoint can be turned against you, because there's plenty of people who think that taking your kids to church is wrong. Right?
Yeah.
There's people, like, I might think that if you go to a particularly whacked religious school or church or whatever, then I might say I think it's abusive to take your kids to church. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to take action against you. It doesn't mean I think it's okay to kidnap your kids or to have some state goons come along and ruin your life over it. It's like, they're your kids. You get to ruin them if you want to. I mean, it's your freedom to do that. I think it's tragic. I think it's sad. But we can't save everybody's kids because not everybody agrees on how kids should be raised. In fact, that's one thing that hardly anyone agrees on, right?
Even the kids might not agree that it's abuse. Like in this case, this person who's getting arrested and going to be a felon now, his kid...
For the piercing, the ear piercing?
Said he wanted the ear piercing. I mean, and it could be the gender reassignment thing, too.
Yeah, you could bring him up on the stand at the trial, and he could testify he wanted it, and it won't matter. Dad still broke the law.
I mean, for all we know, 100% of people who have gotten gender reassignment surgery under 18 don't regret it and are fine with it.
That some of them regret it, right?
Do we know that? I don't know.
Yeah, there's videos of people that have come out. Later on, they said, oh, my God, this was, like, the biggest mistake I've ever made. I wish I could have my boobs back, you know, that kind of thing. It's a pretty drastic decision. But ultimately, if you get raised...
They could have felt that way if they did it at 25 as well.
And they could have. You're absolutely right about that.
It's just none of my business.
That's how I feel
about it. To be completely honest. Like, I mean, if it was my kids, I would hope that I would raise them in a way where they would feel comfortable having this conversation with me and they would trust my guidance to be like, hey, maybe that's not such a good idea.
And maybe in a certain society... It would be acceptable socially to use violence to take kids from people who do things that the majority of people don't like. I think we would ultimately see that, right? Like, there will be some societies that outlaw abortion. Yeah. There will be some societies that outlaw male and female circumcision. There will be some societies that outlaw these things. I just don't think that belongs in a libertarian society. That said, I think a lot of people would still agree that if you're, you know, you're like absolutely abusing your kids, like beating them or whatever, I think most people would agree that it's okay to take kids out of that situation. It's just the question is, obviously people don't agree on what is abuse and what isn't. What is actionable and what isn't. If you want to comment, you can join us here, 603-283-6160. But ear piercing, really? Does anyone think that's actually abusive?
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's bill to raise the debt ceiling and cut federal spending has been approved in the House.
We're the only body that passed anything. Why do you assume the Senate can pass anything? Because I haven't seen them do anything. So right now, this is the only place that has lifted the debt limit.
President Biden said he wants a clean bill to raise the debt limit and will not negotiate. President Biden, addressing the age-old question of his age, is insisting he's not too old to run for re-election. Biden, who's 80, said Americans can decide for themselves if they think his age is an issue. He said he feels good and is excited about the prospects of a second term. A meeting was held today between Hunter Biden's legal team and Justice Department prosecutors. That meeting reportedly involved potential charges related to tax filings from the president's son and an illegal firearm purchase. Hunter Biden being investigated by the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have waiting for you there. We do have our own social media platform. We run the thing. It's over at social.freetalklive.com. That is social.freetalklive.com. It's a Mastodon system. We run the server, so we set the rules, and the rules there are you get to express yourself in a much more free manner. So please go there and enjoy that. It's Ian, Nikki, and Bonnie joining you here tonight. Let's go to the phones with Major Payne on the line in Michigan, and we'll get to Bonnie's story coming up here about DeSantis and his time in Guantanamo Bay, which is not something to be proud of, but he's proud of it. But Major Payne, go ahead. You're on Free Talk Live.
All right, so I got a triple header for you. One's to do with kids, one's to do with banks, and the other's to do with guns. But okay, before I jump into it, remember you guys were talking about is Florida South or not? Even way back in the 60s, my grandparents used to have a place down in Sarasota, and they called that place Little Michigan. Because all Michigan plates you'd see bouncing around during snowbird time.
Yep. That's
so,
about right.
So I throw that one in there. And I think I'd call Texas, at least Texarkana South. You get into the tumbleweed part of Texas, probably not.
Okay, fair enough. Texarkana's right there on the border. It's actually, I believe, a city that is split by the Texas-Arkansas border, if I recall correctly. We're on the air there.
There's one city in Kentucky, or bar, actually, that's right on the county line, and half the bar is wet and half the bar is dry.
My God, that's crazy.
Isn't it though?
I believe it. I believe that is one. That is a hallmark of the South, is dry counties, as they're called. I don't know if they have those up here.
They do.
Do they really?
Not counties, but some towns.
Dry towns?
I think it's a town-by-town thing. I don't know if it's a county thing up here.
It's amazing.
Well, Michigan, until probably 20 years ago, you couldn't buy any booze on Sunday.
Yeah,
that was
blue laws.
Yeah, a lot of places.
Yep. So anyway, there's a, I don't know who filed the lawsuit, and I don't recollect where it was from, but this is to do with a fourth grade band class. And I don't remember if they said it incited sexism or violence, but it said it also incited white supremacy. Now, how in the hell can a fourth grade band class incite any of that?
I don't know. Do they explain?
No. It was just a quick news blip, but it just made my ears perk up. I was like, damn, I got to tell you about that one.
Well,
anyway,
all the more reason to get your kids out of government school. I mean, that's the only solution here.
I know how excited you guys get when I report bank failures to you. Remember that Regency Bank that got bailed out so hard?
You're talking about First whatever bank, First Republic?
Republic, that's it. I thought it was Regency.
Yeah, they're back in the news again today. In fact, I had that in show prep for tonight, but what did you see?
Yeah, well, their stock went from $150 by the time of the debacle down to $6 a share.
Yeah.
So the lemmings are jumping out of the windows on Wall Street as we speak.
Yeah, big time. It went down, as you say, quite a bit in just the last 2 months, with another huge drop over the past 2 days, going from, I think, $16 to $8 yesterday, down to just below $6 today. So it has just been pummeled in the last several weeks. It announced on Monday that it had lost roughly 40% of its deposits in the first quarter. So imagine a bank losing not quite half of the money that people deposited with that bank.
Wow.
In one quarter of a year.
And it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
Well, and that's after, what, a $30 million or $3 trillion bailout, whatever it was?
I mean, $30 billion was given to this particular bank earlier this year. So you guys remember the whole Silicon Valley Bank failure, and then the Fed seized Signature Bank after that. And the big question was what's the next bank that's going to go? And everybody was saying, look at First Republic Bank. It was like there was a line out the front door on the weekend after Silicon Valley Bank had failed. There were people waiting on a Saturday, line out the door in, I think
California.
It was California and Los Angeles area. And people said, yeah, this one's going to be the next one to go. And so what happened was 11 of the largest banks, so like Bank of America, Chase Bank, the biggies, they just ponied up $30 billion and infused that money into First Republic Bank to attempt to instill confidence and prevent bank runs from spreading. And so,
because I was wondering what the benefit for them would be, you know?
Yeah, to stop the panic, essentially.
Yeah.
To stave this off. And what I said at the time was, they're only buying time. I said, the question is, how long is $30 billion going to last? Is it going to get them to next week? Is it going to get them to next month? And we are about a month or so after this happened, you know, maybe 5 or 6 weeks or something after they did this $30 billion, you want to call it a bailout. It didn't come from the government per se. It came from these other banks. But meanwhile, the bank lost apparently, and I don't have the number with me right now, but I saw it in another article. I think it was $100 billion went out the door from their customers. So these are customers who didn't lose that money. They were able to withdraw the funds. They were able to send them somewhere else.
I see what you mean.
But that was roughly 40% of the bank's deposits.
$100 billion?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that $30 billion isn't going to cut it.
Correct. Yeah. So that's what's going on with them. And according to CNBC.com, the stock was frozen multiple times. It was frozen from being able to be traded today multiple times due to it losing so much so fast. Just because stocks aren't like cryptocurrency where, you know, crypto is completely uncontrolled. You can't stop the clock on that. But they can with stocks. So these people at the stock markets get to intervene and try to, I don't know, just stop people from trading it for whatever reason. But it still came down, and it's not looking good. I believe the rumor is right now that the feds aren't going to step in at this point, but the stock isn't quite penny stocks levels yet, but it's $5.70 right now, down from, as you said, over $150. Major, anything else?
They basically did a tourniquet, you know, mm-hmm. but they didn't have a surgeon on staff.
Yeah. Thank you for the call.
The last one I got is this has already gone through both the houses here in Michigan, and it's going to the governor's desk. They've passed another crazy gun law.
Oh, boy.
Where if somebody, let's say I got a girlfriend that's PO'd at me, and she says I'm a danger to myself and society.
Oh, no.
And gets the judge to believe it. Well, he can sign a piece of paper that says the cops can come in and take all my guns.
Is that a red flag law?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she did put something in there. I agree, but there was a 3-part bill. I can't remember the other two because they were non really consequential. But one of them was she was going to exempt taxes on if you bought gun safety gear, trigger locks and that kind of jazz.
This is passing.
She's already passed a law here where if you buy a new gun and even if you got old guns, if you don't have them all locked up and any kid can get mm-hmm. to any gun in your house, you are guilty.
That's bad.
Everything has got to be under lock and key. You can't have a 45 stashed in your bedside drawer.
Wow.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very useful. What's the point of having it if you can't actually grab it quickly?
That's actually the law. You're saying that's not a proposal that's passed. That's the law.
This one has passed. Yeah, and the only way to really make this functionable is these fingerprint pistol locks. You know what I mean? You screw it right to the side of your bed rail. You can reach down. It recognizes your grip.
Yep.
Lets the gun go.
What happens when the batteries die on that?
Hell, I don't know. I don't think they make them solar power. I don't think that's part of the Green New Deal.
Right?
Then you don't keep it outside anyway, so. Hey, I don't know. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. It reminds me of a story I think I saw. It was Washington State, where they're putting in some serious restrictions on the kinds of guns that you can buy there. Lots of... I don't know if it's semi-auto rifles and things like that have been banned, apparently.
Oh, yep, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and so Oregon, of course, also is not known for its gun friendliness, and I saw somebody posting on social media about the Washington law saying that the gun people are like, well, we're just going to vote harder! As though that's going to, turn around.
Yeah, because
this.
That worked so well for you before. You didn't vote hard enough against this law. What's the difference between the next one? No.
So if you are of a liberty mindset, I'm not talking to conservatives because they don't care about liberty when it comes to plenty of things. I'm talking about liberty-minded people, libertarians, voluntarists. If you are in places like Washington State or Michigan or any of these places that are going hard to destroy more freedoms, stop the insanity of trying to work through the system that you're significantly outnumbered in and get to New Hampshire where you can do something that's actually effective by infiltrating the Republican and Democrat parties here and taking those organizations over from the inside and basically helping us win for liberty here in New Hampshire. And it's the Free State Project. You can go and check them out at fsp.org or freestateproject.org and learn more about this ongoing migration, because I'm sorry to say, but you got to admit at some point that you've been defeated. You have mm-hmm. to be able to look rationally at a situation and say, not only are we not winning, but our numbers are not growing at a clip that is going to help us have victory in Washington State or, Florida or whatever.
And I think people need to take some of this stuff more personally. Like that law getting passed in Washington is pretty much an affront to your safety. I mean, it's bad enough when people don't understand anything about government being bad until it happens to them. But I think that you should just... apply that, that person in Arkansas got their house raided over something like that. You're not going to be able to have a gun, I don't know. I'm just saying, you need to take it more personally and more seriously.
And I do, and whenever...
It can happen to you.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever I have, discussions with people that are, pro-gun control, mm-hmm. I do take it personally, and I tell them that. I say, why is you being afraid of guns more important than me defending myself? That could be the difference. They call it the great equalizer for a reason. Statistically, men are, you know, can very easily overpower women. So sure. why do I not have the right to defend myself? Like, that could quite literally be the difference between me getting raped and me not getting raped.
Do they ever answer the question when you ask them that?
It's a difficult question for them. They always have some sort of excuse, but I've kind of stumped a few people with that one. Okay. Because how do you answer that, you know? So,
indeed.
They're just tough.
They just think, well, we just need to make it harder for bad guys. It's just like there's not a way to do that.
Or they're like, oh, well, you're supposed to call the police. Okay, well, I will already be dead in a ditch, so.
Yeah. When you need them, they are just minutes away from, you know, when somebody's seconds away from killing you, right?
Or they just decide, oh, there's a lot of screaming going on in there. I'm not going to risk officer safety. And don't go in.
They can do that, too.
And they absolutely have the right to do that, apparently.
And you can't sue them.
You
will lose
to the government.
If you sue them over that. The number is 603-283-6160. Speaking of fake-ass free states, Bonnie, you've got a story for us tonight about Ron DeSantis. This is the governor in Florida. Many people believe that DeSantis is going to run for president.
Oh, and people love him, too. He's like their Jesus Christ.
He's
like the new Trump. People love him.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, conservatives love him for sure, but what surprises me is when libertarians...
I think they're just duped.
That's what I don't understand. It's like, how can
it.
You be so easily fooled?
Yeah.
How can you call yourself a libertarian and look at somebody like Ron DeSantis, who's obviously a police statist, a big government?
I know why. It's because there's people that think like, oh, a step in the right direction, still a step in the right direction, but it's not. I don't agree with that. I don't either, but there are people that are like, yeah, but he wants... for some reason, there are people that are like, one issue... You know, voters, like, by one issue is
ridiculous.
Health freedom, and therefore Ron DeSantis. But the thing is, people need to really push back against that. People who actually have principles, not just for nothing, they need to push back against the idea that a step in the direction, blah, 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 like, watering down your message is okay. Because all that does is, if you say, oh, instead of getting rid of taxes, let's just agree to do 1% taxes. That just gives the other side the ability to be like, no, we're going to go with 20%. It's a compromise. And then you have 20% taxes instead of no taxes. Like, you just should always argue for what you actually want. I don't understand why you do anything different.
And you shouldn't be endorsing... And you shouldn't be endorsing people who don't have principles. You should, if you want to, say... All right, well, if I was forced to choose between politician A and B, I'd hold my nose and choose this one, but I still think he sucks. I wouldn't either, right? Like, you don't have to vote. You don't have to vote for, if there's a Republican presidential primary and there's no real Liberty candidate, if there's no equivalent of Ron Paul, and luckily we actually do have one, his name is Aaron Day, he's a free stater, he's a libertarian, he's a principled guy, he supports ending the war on drugs, he supports... independence for states. I mean, the dude's solid, right? So that's your new Ron Paul. But of course, these people will say, "Oh, well,
he doesn't
a serious candidate. He doesn't have a chance to win."
So stupid.
Like, yeah. Well, if no one's willing to support him, then of course not. But
and your vote doesn't like really matter anyway. If you're voting for one of the two people, I just don't get it.
I would not even waste my time to vote for a lot of the presidential candidates. Like, who would we have that, the Joe Biden and Donald Trump? I wouldn't waste my time.
They're monsters.
There are so many other things I could do with my time. Like, I wouldn't even waste the hour that it would take for me to go vote. That is how much I don't care about those two people ruling over me.
Yeah.
Another thing people should consider is whether somebody is just blatantly immoral. And Ron DeSantis is.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, Bonnie, because you have an example. There's so many people out there that all they can see from this guy is, oh, he's against woke, and oh, he said masks were bad. This is after he locked down the state, after there was all kinds of mandates and you can't go to work and the whole deal. That all happened, you know, in Florida, locking down the beaches even. was something that that he did. Until later, months and months later, somebody did a poll or something. Some advisor came in and whispered in his ear and said, "Oh yeah, you probably should change your mind about this."
And then then in that case, he rescued everybody. Oh, he saved us. The beaches are open.
He's full of it. He's just a political snake, and he'll do whatever it takes to promote Ron DeSantis, like most politicians. He's not different from most politicians. He's smooth, right? Like, he's good with knowing his audience and constructing a narrative to sell them on this. And the sad thing is there's way too many libertarians who have fallen for this guy's siren song. So what should those people know about him, Bonnie? That, by the way, he's not hiding. I got this, I don't know, five or six page mailer.
Yeah.
I've never seen a political mailer like this. Normally,
it's like a magazine about Ron DeSantis.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't know if you could call it a magazine as much as a multi-page flyer, but if it had, I don't know, 10 more pages, it could be a magazine. But it was like 6 pages, full color, full size, and it was all about Ron DeSantis. And one of the things it said in there was that he was in Guantanamo Bay,
as an inmate?
He said that earlier.
I was like, what?
No, so what happened?
He was like stationed there in the military. This is from Al Jazeera, written by a man named Mansour Adafi, and he's a writer, artist, activist, and former Guantanamo prisoner.
Hmm.
Title is Americans, Beware What Belies the Smile of Ron DeSantis. So many military staffers and guards passed through Guantanamo during my 14-year detention that I remember...
14 years.
Yep. That I remember only the kindest and the cruelest, the ones who seem to take joy in our misery. In 2021, just as my memoir, Don't Forget Us Here, Lost and Found at Guantanamo, was about to be published, I was on Twitter and saw a photo of a handsome man in a white Navy uniform. It was Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. I do not remember what the post was about, probably something about him clashing with President Joe Biden over COVID policies. But I remembered his face. It was a face I could never forget. I had seen that face for the first time in Guantanamo in 2006, one of the camp's darkest years, when the authorities started violently breaking hunger strikes, and three of my brothers were found dead in their cages. After finding in my Miami Herald article in which DeSantis bragged about his service at Guantanamo, and confirming that my memory is correct, I sent his photo to a group chat of former detainees. Several replied that they too remembered his face from Guantanamo. Some said seeing his face again triggered painful memories of the trauma they suffered during their imprisonment. I understood. Even after spending the previous years working on my memoir, which meant reliving everything I had been through at Guantanamo, seeing his face again triggered a lot of pain in me too. When I first saw DeSantis, I was on a hunger strike. In 2005, almost all prisoners in the camp started participating in a hunger strike to protest against torture, inhumane treatment, and being held indefinitely without even being charged with a crime.
Yep.
By 2006, news about our hunger strike was finally getting out. We were feeling hopeful. One day, as we continued our strike with the hope that change is just around the corner, a naval judge advocate general, or JAG, who I later learned to be DeSantis, walked the blocks with other new arrivals. He stopped and talked to us, explaining that his job was to ensure that the camp was abiding by the Geneva Conventions and that we were being treated humanely.
Sounds great. Right? Oh, he's there to help.
Yeah, he just wanted to get them to trust him because he's there to help.
He's going
to
make the conditions better. Right? This is a good thing.
I remember him asking why we were still on hunger strike. We told him to look around. Camp Delta was constructed from metal shipping containers, divided into cages with wire mesh. In the summer, the cages were like ovens.
In Cuba.
In the winter, they were cold and wet. They were loud with huge fans and the echoes of all the men's voices. Then there was the persistent harassment by guards, desecration of Qurans, non-existent medical care, systematic torture, and being completely cut off from the outside world. We told DeSantis we were on hunger strike because we wanted to know why we were being imprisoned. Because we wanted a fair judicial process to prove our innocence. He took notes. He promised to register our complaints. A few days later, guards retrieved me from the cage I was in and took me to the recreation yard of the November block. There, we were treated by a group of nurses and corpsmen standing next to a metal restraint chair and several cases of liquid nutrient Ensure. A group of JAG officers and the other observers, including Zach, the camp's cultural advisor, were watching the scene through the yard's chain-link fence. I was informed that the U.S. government was determined to break the hunger strike. The doctor in charge, a colonel, told me he did not care if I was innocent or protesting mistreatment. He was there for one thing, to make me eat. I refused and was immediately and violently strapped into the chair so tightly that I could not move. A nurse forced a thick tube into my nose and down my throat. My nose bled and the pain was so great that I thought my head would explode. The nurse would not stop. Instead, he began pouring Ensure into a feeder bag attached to the tube. Eat, the nurse yelled, eat. They poured can after can in the feeder bag until my stomach and throat were so full that Ensure poured back out of my mouth and throat, and nose. I thought I was going to drown. If you throw up, a corpsman said, we'll start from the beginning with a new case and fill you up again.
Imagine eating as torture, like forced food on you.
That's so terrible.
As torture.
As I tried to break free, I noticed DeSantis's handsome face among the crowd at the other side of the chain link fence. He was watching me struggle. He was smiling and laughing with other officers as I screamed in pain. I threw up in their direction. They jumped back, disgusted. I did not care. I was the only one there who had the right to be disgusted. That force feeding was inhumane. It was meant to break me and teach me a lesson. Hug is actually making me emotional.
Well, it's pretty serious.
It's sad. It's disgusting that people can treat other human beings this way. And then this is the guy that everybody's worshiping. Like, he's, you know...
Oh, well, they're not human beings. They're terrorists. Even though there's not been any proof.
Or even a charge.
Yeah, they've never been charged. They were never sent to court. There was never any kind of... I mean, we know that the court thing is a whole sham in the first place.
Of course.
But they didn't even bother with that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And I don't know if they get into it in this particular story, Bonnie, about DeSantis. But apparently, according to an article at the Washington Post... It was actually DeSantis' idea.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, so this is just this one inmate who was saying he saw this guy, here's what he said to him, and then he showed up at the day he was being force-fed and was smiling and laughing while he was in the audience watching this, which that's enough to suggest that this guy is a sicko. But according to the Washington Post, DeSantis advised, endorsing the practice, saying, quote, hey, you can actually force-feed, unquote. This was something that he said. It was his idea to subject these people to this torture. So not only was he into it, it was his thing.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.